This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It is another Monday dawn in Kuala Lumpur, 7:07, Monday the 13th of December. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Philip C. But first, as we always do, we're going to start the week and the Monday with a recap on how global markets closed on Friday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
US markets surged as inflation numbers were in line with expectations. The Dow was up 0.6%, S&P 500 was up 1%, and Nasdaq was up 0.7%. Very interesting to note to see what Asia will look like, but last Friday, it was all negative territory. The Nikkei was down 1%, Hang Seng down 1.1%, Shanghai Composite down 0.2%, STI down 0.2%, as well as FBM KLCI down 0.9%.
Interesting. So inflation numbers were high, but stock market still rallied anyway.
Yeah, the number was 6.8%, in line with expectations. So I think people expected much worse. And because of it meeting in line, I think markets really rallied.
All right, well, we're going to get some more insight into this with Kyle Roda, market analyst with the trading platform IG. Good morning, Kyle. As we just discussed, US CPI rose in November to 6.8% on year. And this is the fastest rate since 1982. But at the same time, markets rallied. And what do you think? Did the Fed get it wrong on inflationary pressures all this while? And what do you think their next course of action is going to be?
Well, yeah, I mean, quite self-evidently, they got the forecast wrong. I mean, they've pretty much admitted it over the last couple of weeks anyway. We had, you know, Chair Powell's testimony in the last fortnight, and he was pretty adamant that we had to now retire that transitory phase, or phrase, I should say, and that it's pretty much a recognition that their forecasts and their language around that was quite incorrect. So we're really preparing for a meeting this week, which is effectively going to see the Fed pivot quite aggressively, I think. They're going to raise their inflation forecast, and they're probably going to accelerate the rate of their asset purchasing tapering program. And there's every chance that they're going to start flagging interest rate hikes to curb inflation in 2022. So it's going to be fairly significant, and it's a fairly significant concession from the Fed that they could get inflation wrong.
But Carl, you know, as an investor, you know, how would you change your allocation to hedge against inflation?
Well, it's really interesting because I think there's two ways that the markets will adapt to this if they think that inflation is going to continue to run away. And I think the first question there before you get to that point is the Fed going to slam the brakes on this, or are they going to still remain behind the curve, even if they do, at least from a nominal perspective, increased interest rates? Now, if we do see a situation, if inflation does continue to run away in the year ahead, and there is this notion that inflation has peaked now, that it will come down, but it'll come down to levels that are still well above the Fed's target. But if inflation does indeed remain well above that 2% level that the Fed tends to try and target for, I think where you're going to see the markets allocate capital is in areas of where real asset exposure. So I think you're going to see commodity plays being very, very popular in the year ahead, especially those industrial commodities. And on the flip side of that too, you're going to see investors moving into areas of the stock market where companies have very high market share and very strong pricing power to pass on some of these costs that they're incurring onto consumers. So it'd be a very interesting dynamic. Again, it all depends on whether you assume that the Fed's going to slam the brakes or remain behind the curve. But like I said, if inflation does continue to persist, it's real assets and then those companies with strong pricing power that I think will benefit.
Where do you see the US dollar trading against majors like the euro and yen, with inflationary pressures and supply side issues continuing to weigh on global markets into the coming year?
Well, this is the big thing, isn't it? It's cost push inflation. So it's not the kind of inflation that policymakers like to see, which is indicative of a very robust demand environment. It's one that not only puts pressure on businesses and consumers, but it also puts pressure on profits as well, because effectively we're seeing a situation where costs are rising, and that means growth in the long run can also be affected. I think as it relates to the US dollar, compared to funding currencies effectively like the Japanese yen and euro, we're looking at a Fed that could hike interest rates based on market pricing right now as soon as March next year. And we're seeing currencies right now really being driven by changing dynamics in yields at the front end of the yield curve. So, considering the fact that it's very unlikely that we're going to see the Bank of Japan and European Central Bank lifting interest rates anytime soon, the prospect that we're going to see higher yields at the front end for US Treasuries is going to attract flow into US government bonds, and that should that should provide upward impetus for the US dollar and probably see the US dollar continue to trend higher, especially against those funding currencies in 2022, or at least the early parts of it.
And so you're seeing some expected appreciation a bit on the dollar. What's your take on gold? Because that also has been a bit on a tear, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's definitely going back to this question about whether the Fed, you know, slams the brakes at inflation or just tries to remain sort of behind the curve and hopes, you know, continues just to hope that it'll come down naturally as some of those supply side pressures abate. If we do see real yields remain low because the Fed remains behind the curve, then that gives impetus for gold to continue to trend higher. However, I think we're getting markets a little bit more concerned now that, you know, the Fed will be a bit more aggressive in their policy stance, and that may be revealed on Thursday morning our time. If that does happen to occur, you're going to see a stronger US dollar and you're going to see higher real yields effectively, which won't be good for gold. So, you know, it really does depend on how the Fed pivots at this particular meeting. My personal view is that it'll continue to trend lower as the Fed tries to rein in inflation and we see a stronger US dollar against, you know, most G10 currencies as well.
And turning our attention to China, how robust do you think China's economy will become in 2022? Will they be able to power through the debt crisis brought about by Evergrande and their property sector?
I think the sense is now is that the political ducks are aligning, so to speak, for China, that there'll be the major incentive for authorities there to ensure a strong economy in 2022. We'll get through these Winter Olympics, and then we'll also move in towards the National People's Congress, where I think President Xi, in particular, will want to make sure that public sentiment is very strong, so he can kind of get that legitimization of what's effectively going to be his positioning for a third term as president. Not only that, of course, you know, we've come out of a period of, you know, economic weakness, relatively speaking, for China, and we're likely to see, like we've already seen as well, the People's Bank of China loosen monetary policy a little bit, and some greater effort being made to stimulate the economy and move away from some of those policy priorities like the common prosperity drive, as well as deleveraging and de-risking elements of the financial markets and the property sector. So there are early signs that we're starting to see pick up in China's economy, that they'll be, you know, reasonably aggressive in trying to achieve their growth targets, you know, 6% or so in the year ahead. So that augurs reasonably well for the global economy and China's financial markets. And it does seem at the moment that we are at an inflection point that we'll see a stronger economy in 2022 for China than what we did in 2021.
Yeah, so we expect a bit more stronger intervention. Now, can we just go back closer to home, which is your home, I think, Australia, right? Because it's set to announce an update to the budget that was announced earlier in May. In your view, what sort of investment-related measures are you expecting to see? And how would this impact the Aussie dollar?
Well, I'm not expecting to see an extraordinary amount. We do have a conservative government in Australia at the moment, and we're already starting to hear language about, you know, fiscal consolidation, the need to, you know, basically manage the budget outlook going forward, because we obviously, like any other country, in the last couple of years incurred a lot of debt to try and stimulate our way through shock to the global economy and the domestic economy. There is the expectation that they'll increase their growth forecasts and some of their economic forecasts going forward, but that won't be much of a surprise to the markets. They're really just catching up to what the RBA and other financial institutions have been forecasting for growth in the year ahead. So I think it'll have a reasonably negligible impact on the Australian dollar, because I don't see this as being necessarily a big spending budget from the federal government. Nevertheless, you know, we've still got iron ore prices that are very elevated by historical standards. Our governments tend to play some cheeky accounting when it comes to budgets by setting the baseline rate for iron ore at about $55, $60 that they budget from. Obviously, it's been much higher than that. So it's going to be a good-looking budget. It's going to it'll show that, you know, debt's been paid down and the deficit's a bit smaller than expected. But I think, you know, the notion of fiscal consolidation will start to become a much bigger point going forward, especially as our recovery continues to progress, all things being equal.
Kyle, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Kyle Rodda, market analyst at the trading platform IG, talking to us about trends that are moving global markets, capping the conversation with an outlook for the Australian budget.
Yes, I think, but the biggest story, I think, is inflation. Clearly, the Fed has got it wrong. They already were U-turning a bit about the whole point that initially it was transitory. They've put the word transitory into the rubbish bin. This coming Thursday meeting, I think, is going to be very important to see whether they re-pivot again and have to decide how they will decide to taper or raise interest rates.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.